many of our members have not seen such a dire situation with respect to the right to protest since 1963, and that is significant. The Council is calling on the Premier to ensure that the right to protest is protected in this state. The right to protest should never depend on whether or not we agree with the issue being protested. It should never, ever depend on how much money you might have in the bank. And it's important to remember that disruptive protests are still protected under international law. They are not considered to be violent protests. The narrative surrounding protests in this country is, quite frankly, frightening and appalling. They have been characterised as a new boogeyman post 9/11. We're calling on New South Wales Police to stop wasting public resources by fighting peaceful protesters and protest movements and taking them to court. The Council is calling on the Premier to protect the right to protest, to protect and support the right to protest declaration that was signed on by many, many significant civil liberty organisations, and to ensure that the Form 1 regime is abolished. There should be no place for a Form 1 regime in a state that truly reflects a democratic community. The right to protest is fundamental to a democracy, a healthy, functioning democracy. And without it, the state of our democracy is incredibly, incredibly at risk. It's incredibly at risk of fundamentally changing the fabric of our country. So again, we urge the Premier to ensure that he does everything that he can to ensure that the right to protest is protected. And we are incredibly disappointed yet again to see another case go before the courts in relation to a Form 1 knockback by New South Wales Police.
So then, Lydia, Form 1 decide, how else can the Premier protect protest rights in New South Wales?
Well, firstly, I think it's important that the Premier does all that he can to ensure that not only the right to protest is protected, but he implements a state-based charter to protect our human rights and civil liberties in this state. I note that Australia is the last liberal democracy not to have a federal charter of rights. So we think that will go some way towards ensuring that all rights of all people in this state are protected. In relation to the right to protest, it's very common nowadays to see the government and the police to raise the issue of resources and how much money, frankly, it costs to police these protests. The protesters are overwhelmingly peaceful. They are not asking to be policed in the manner in which they are. And it's important that the media do all that they can in their role of protecting democracy also to push back and question why the issue of resources and the allocation of those important public resources are never raised in relation to other policy considerations. For example, like the bail reform laws that we saw, that we know, that evidence tells us will result in a huge increase in funds being spent on incarcerating young black children. I didn't hear anybody raise the issue about how much money that was going to cost the state.
What is the media narrative that we're getting wrong?
I think, unfortunately, what we're seeing is a very persuasive narrative, not only in this state but in this country, that has continued to characterise peaceful protests and peaceful protest movements as being inherently a security risk or a threat to democracy itself, or indeed just at the very least a mild inconvenience or even a wild inconvenience depending on where you sit on the political spectrum. And I think that that's a very dangerous narrative for the media to disseminate, quite frankly, and it should be resisted at all costs.
This is a rally outside the Supreme Court in Sydney. The ABC and SBS were there, and famous journalist Wendy Bacon asked the question. The main speakers you'll hear are Lydia from the Council of Civil Liberties, Zach from Rising Tide, and Sue Higginson, New South Wales MP for the Greens. And there was a good showing of civil society there with the Knitting Nanas and Lock the Gate and XR and Socialist Alliance.
Yeah, right from when he was in opposition, the Premier Chris Minns has been certainly made anti-protest statements. Do you think the police are acting on their own behalf, or do you think they're responding to political influence from above?
I can't say that the police are responding to political pressure, but what I can say is this, is that the council has repeatedly requested a meeting with the New South Wales Commissioner of Policing in relation to our concerns, for example, that legal observers are not protected from arrests when all they're doing is observing police at peaceful protests. We are concerned that the police continue to impose scandalous bail conditions on protesters, where they just, quite frankly, don't reflect the scope and the intention of bail, police bail. And we're concerned that, indeed, the narrative surrounding the Premier's office is that he is against protecting the right to protest. That, I think, is very clear.
Yeah, if there is a threat to democracy here, it's the CEO of New South Wales Minerals Council, Stephen Galilee, coming out in the Daily Telegraph in full-throated support of this attempt to block a peaceful protest that is, you know, against the corporations that are literally burning our future for their profit. Over the last year, the coal and gas industry has received over $14 billion in taxpayer money in direct subsidies to prop up their industries. And that is the state of affairs that Stephen Galilee and his friends in government want to carry on by banning everyday Australians standing up for our rights. I think that's a really important point to make. And if there is cost to be saved at any point in the equation, stop giving fossil fuel companies.
It's not the public that gains any type of benefit when their right to protest is restricted or repressed, or when the public are told you can protest, but only over there on a back road where no one can hear you, where no one can see you. That is not the right to protest. That is not a true reflection of what the right to protest means. So it's not the public that benefits when the right to protest is curtailed, repressed, restricted, or when peaceful protest organisers or movements are dragged towards court to defend Form 1 applications. It's not in the public's best interest.
Is it fair for the police to differentiate between protest and disruption or blockade?
No, I think as Lydia made quite clear, disruptive protest is considered, you know, in the democratic tradition of protest. It's a really, really important way that we have to make our statements and our points really clear in resistance to the power structures that exist.
We often see disruptive protests when the voices of the public are not seen to be truly representative in the people that are meant to be leading them. And that's why we see an increase in disruptive protests on a range of social justice issues, including climate change. It's because the views of the public are not being reflected and they're not able to effectively participate in the important decision-making process around policies and around law reform. And I think that's a very important concept to remember when we're having these discussions.
Yeah, please.
Sue Higginson, Greens MP. There is no doubt these cases should not be brought in this manner or this form. There is no doubt that this is entirely motivated right now by the Premier's office, Chris Minns. These are very difficult cases for the police to win, all things said and done. It is absolutely not the role of police to determine what protests should or should not go ahead. The Summary Offences Act and the Form 1 is designed specifically to facilitate the wishes of people who are sending strong messages under their implied freedom of political communication that is enshrined in the Commonwealth Constitution. It is really important that we all see what is really happening here, and this is, in no doubt, a political attack on the right to protest. And right now, the people want to protest the fact that there is not enough action being taken on climate change in New South Wales right now. It is the Newcastle Coal Board that is literally exporting the climate crisis out of New South Wales. It is so important that the people of Australia get the opportunity to come together to exercise their hope, their dissent, in the manner and the form they choose, and it would be best if the police and the Premier of New South Wales take a good, hard look at this request, facilitate the need, and ensure public safety is guaranteed as part of this incredible, powerful, people-driven event that we now know as the People's Blockade of the world's largest coal port.
Fantastic.
Stand the right to protest.
And I'll just wrap up by saying at the People's Blockade, all we're asking for is an end to new coal and gas approvals, stop making the problem worse, and a tax, a massive 78% tax on coal and gas exports to fund the transition that the Hunter so desperately needs. Thanks so much.
You struggle going into a courtroom and bowing at a man. You're not actually bowing at the man, you're bowing at the kangaroo behind you. It's got me through my legal career all my life. You actually are bowing. You're bowing at the coat of arms. That is the honest thing. So just look above the man and bow to the kangaroo and the emu.
I've got Josh Lees here, who's very well known to your listeners from the Palestine rallies we have every Sunday in Sydney. Josh, I want you to connect this rally here outside the Supreme Court to protect the right to protest at Newcastle for Rising Tide with what's happening right now in Gaza and the UN, United Nations, the whole framework.
Well, I guess the government is connecting the issues for us because they hauled us before this same court 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago to try to ban our protests. And then, as we pointed out, what we said was that we wish the government was more concerned with stopping a genocide than they were with stopping protests. And now we see a government that, of course, is totally in bed with the fossil fuel industry, that is expanding coal and gas and everything in this country, try to ban climate protests. So they're attacking our rights to protest on multiple fronts because they're trying to defend the same system that relies on killing people to make profits, you know, whether it's in Gaza or on the climate. You know, we're seeing today hundreds of people killed in flash flooding in Spain. And this is just the latest in a whole series of climate disasters that have killed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. This is the future we have in store unless we protest to stop this whole system.